Good morning. Let's try that again. It is a good morning, right? Can you do this? Can you say, that makes it a good morning. You don't look like you believe me. Good morning. I'm glad to be here today, and I'm thankful for this opportunity to try to do something to contribute to the work here at this particular congregation as we work together for the cause of Christ Jesus. This morning, just want to, I believe, help us to see some things that hopefully will motivate us in the area of what we call personal evangelism. And basically, of course, we're talking about that we as individuals accepting and fulfilling the responsibility that we have as followers of Christ to try to do something about man's condition. Ignore that other part. This is a tool we use at East Jackson. I'm not going to be going over that tool, but this is just some of the places we begin as we try to encourage our people. But we recognize that man does have a problem, right? Man's got a real problem. What's man's greatest problem? Well, guess what? Man's greatest problem is not whether you're going to have acne in a couple of years or not. Okay? Man's greatest problem is not, well, that girl that you got your eye on, whether she's going to like you or not. That's not your greatest problem. All right? What's man's greatest problem? Sin. Why is that a problem? All right? Sin brings, Romans 6:23, death. All right? It has brought physical death, which comes to us all, spiritual death, which comes to us all, and then eternal death, which does not have to come to us all. So that's a problem. It separates us from God. It causes God not to hear our prayers. Hopefully we know those scriptures, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Our sins and our iniquities separate us from God. Jesus said in John 8:21 that if you die in your sins, then where I am, or at least where he said, I'm going my way. So where he was going, he said, where I am, you cannot come. Where did he go when he left here? I need some elders to give folk permission to talk this morning. Is it okay for folk to talk this morning? Okay. All right. So where did he go when he left here? He went to heaven. And he says that any person that dies in their sin, that person can't go to heaven. And you know how the world is. We want to send everybody to heaven. All right? Person dies, and folks say, they're in a better place now. But can we agree and admit that not everybody that dies is in a better place? Some people are in a worse place. Amen? All right. Not everybody dies in a better place. Okay? So we've got a problem. What's the solution to that problem? The solution to that problem is Jesus Christ. Okay? The solution to that problem is Jesus Christ. So we must be and can be involved in the process of trying to help those. And I hope that by the time I'm finished, that I think a guilt trip that we carry that we ought not carry can be relieved, and that we'll be of the mindset to understand how and when God can use us. So we've got to participate in that work, because as hopefully we will discover, contrary to what some folk think, there are seekers, there are eunuchs out there. Okay? Just keep that in mind. There are eunuchs out there. And that's one thing we've learned at East Jackson, especially in the last couple of years, to be able to have the mindset that there are eunuchs out there. And everybody is not a eunuch. So one of the things you're going to hear me say is, if I'm trying to talk to you and you're not a eunuch, I'm wasting my time and your time too. It's not a eunuch. So if I'm talking to somebody, if I'm striking, if I'm moving the conversation to where that I can begin to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I discover they're not a eunuch, my next words are, how about them cowboys? There are some that are not eunuchs. Were the Pharisees eunuchs? Huh? The Pharisees and the scribes? Now, some of them were. Some of them were converted. Nicodemus and others we see became followers of Christ. But for the most part, Jesus said the Pharisees are like whited sepulchres, beautiful on the outside, inside full of dead men's bones. In fact, some of his most scathing rebukes in the Gospels is against the Pharisees and the scribes. They were not eunuchs. They were not eunuchs. All right? So what we have then is a responsibility to be able to recognize the eunuch and share with them what we need to share. So we can be involved in this process, and somebody might have to punch it for me because it's not cooperating with me. All right? Strange hands are holding it, okay? Because we really have to, I believe, have belief in and faith in the power. What's the power? All right? What's the power? The gospel. It's got to be our focus. Romans 1 and verse number 16. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed, and that's not helping me, so I'll wave my hand, and when I wave my hand, then you go forward. It's the power of God. You know, when we're preaching about the church, Matthew 16, 18, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ loved the church. He gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Now, your preacher may not do it that way, but he does emphasize the it, right? Well, there's an it here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the what? The power of God unto salvation. All right? Guess what? That means that you and I, the power is not in us. And we get discouraged sometimes because we'll get confused and think that we's the power. And then when we fail, we want to blame God when we're operating on our own power instead of stepping out of the way and letting the power be the power, and let God do the work and God do the blessing. That's possible to do. It is the power of God unto salvation. So we have to depend on that power. And did I do that? I guess I did that. All right. Notice that the gospel is the centrality. Peter talks about the born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. The word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass. The glory of man is at the flower of the grass. The grass withereth and the flower fades away. But the word of the Lord, word of God, shall abide forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So notice he takes the focus of the word and brings it right down to the gospel. All right? Brings it right down to the gospel. And what we've learned to do is to emphasize the gospel, because when I say that the eunuchs out there is possible, we have been able to, using this tool, we've been able to increase our outreach. In fact, we've made some transitions in March of 2015. Since March of 2015, we have baptized 69 souls into Christ. Now, that's not a whole lot. That's a whole lot more than what we were doing. And then we've also restored about 12, because when folk have been out of worship for a while. And when I talk about restoration, I'm talking about those who have just, you know, really fallen away. They come to the if they come to service, we take them to what we call our VIP class. This is where we take all of our visitors, and we share some things. We share the gospel with them. But since that time, you know, we've had 12 of those that were restored, and we've had 69 that were baptized into Christ. All right, 41 last year. We've already had 2 this year, and certainly expecting more and more fruit, because what we're doing is emphasizing the gospel. And there's a simple way, because eunuchs will be open to the gospel. And, of course, when we talk about the gospel, the specifics of the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. All right, Paul said, I'm preaching the gospel. You received it. You were saved by it. You stand. What did I preach? I preached to you how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. All right? And in our process of teaching, we emphasize the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we really emphasize the death. In this teaching tool that we use, when we're talking with a person, I spend some time talking about and describing all that Christ went through and how he was tortured, how he was suffered, what happens when a person is crucified, what was happening with him on the cross. And one way to recognize a eunuch is when you're at that place and you're telling that story, they get a little wide-eyed, or even for some, tears may come to their eyes. Okay? That's a sign you're dealing with a eunuch. Okay? So we often say you need to obey the gospel, but we need to also emphasize that the gospel is, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for your sins, because you were separated from God. Well, we don't say you. I say this person that I'm talking about was separated from God. Okay? They can't go to heaven. They can't pray and be heard. Because Isaiah said, God said, I won't hear. So it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins. And notice that, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice the emphasis here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go to the next one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 17 and 18. New King James reads, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. And if you look on down in the context, verses 22 through 24, over in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he says, I don't know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. What's the power? The gospel. What's the gospel? It is the story of how Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was resurrected. And that's important because next, the cross of Christ takes me into what are called the house of sorrow. Okay? Sometimes we're into folk feeling good, and sometimes we need to feel bad. Hello? Sometimes we don't want to make people feel bad. And we don't make them feel bad, but if they come to the foot of the cross, they're going to feel bad. It's better to feel bad than to feel good. Does that sound strange to you? All right. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2. And I'm going to have to hurry a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2. What's better, to feel bad or feel good? Well, better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by a sad countenance, the heart is made better. Okay? You ever had a child do something, and they had no godly sorrow for what they did? Huh? Okay. And any of y'all, some of us are old school. When we were growing up and we got into it with our siblings, mom and dad would make us say, "I'm sorry." And we say, "I'm sorry," didn't bit more mean it than man in the moon, did we? Okay. So it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of laughter. What is it about the house of mourning? A funeral, a death, reminds us of death. That it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after death there is the judgment. And what Jesus did on the cross ought to break our hearts to know that in many ways I am responsible for that. Okay? I'm responsible for him hanging on the cross of Calvary. I'm responsible. Why? Because of my sins. So, we have to trust, depend on, use, put forth, emphasize what's the power. It is the gospel. It is the gospel. When God gave that, he gave that for all time. It doesn't matter what methods, everything else. If it doesn't come back to the emphasis of the gospel, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sin. All right? But there must be, next slide, a passion. A good friend of mine that helped me with a lot of this and who we brought in and to help us with some things, Brother Tommy Brooks, he tells an illustration of a preacher goes to a prison, and he's prepared his lesson, and he goes to this prison, and he's there before the prisoners are brought in. And they have set things up. And he looks over off to the side, and there are three chairs draped in black. So he asks, "What's up? What is it with these chairs over here that are draped in black?" And the one says, "Oh, those are three prisoners that will be sitting there that are going to be executed as soon as your message is over." All right? So, in Brother Brooks' illustration, the preacher decides, "I better go back and change my message." Well, why should we ever have to change the message? It should always emphasize the gospel. But the thing that we have to remember is we meet folk every day who are sitting in the draped chairs. In fact, we're sitting in them because at any moment we could leave this world, right? All right? Our lives are like a vapor. Here for a short time and then vanishes away. So just think about it. As I meet people day by day, I may be looking at someone that's sitting in the draped chair, and when I'm gone from their presence and going about my business, that person may die. And if they die in their sins, now, what I have to ask myself, did God put me in their presence for a reason? And did I fulfill the purpose that he may have put me in their presence for? We'll talk a little bit more about that, all right? So, we need to have a passion. Romans 10, you know Paul. My heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. In Ephesians chapter 3, he talked about how the grace of God was upon him and how he was blessed by it. And he wants to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery in Christ Jesus. All right? He talked about the fact in 1 Timothy 1, I'm willing to suffer, whatever. I was the chief of sinners, and now I recognize something. Christ came into this world to save sinners, and whom I am chief. So he has this passion for being able to help someone come to Jesus Christ. So we must have a great passion for God's purpose. All right? We must have a great passion for God's purpose, for God to use me according to his purpose. What is his purpose? His purpose is that he wants to save everybody. He wants to save all men. Not everybody's going to be saved. All right? And now we become his tools, young or old. Okay? So that means that before I say, hey, sweet thing, but I hope I'm talking to unmarried folk here, right? All right? Hey, sweet, don't be afraid to write that down and use it, but, use it right, okay? Before I say that, all right, I've got to have a vision in my mind. Is this young lady in her sin sitting in the draped chair? Is that young man, instead of how, well, in my hood, they say fly. I don't know what y'all say. He's cute or what do y'all say? I won't tell nobody. Huh? He's cute. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to tell you. Before you say that, the question is, am I looking at somebody sitting in that draped chair, and when I finish my place in their presence, they may die in their sins. Okay? Think about that. All right. Then, next one. So there's got to be a willingness to walk on water with Jesus in spite of our fears. We'll give some things in the Sunday night lesson to kind of help with the idea of fears and all that. But one of the things that holds us back is our fears. Even though the Bible teaches us over and over, do not be afraid. I read one author that said that there, in some form or another, do not fear or do not be afraid is in the Bible 366 times. So that means we got one do not fear, do not be afraid for every day of the year, including leap year. God tells us over and over, or at least that expression or in some form or another is in the Bible an awful lot. Don't be afraid. We've got to step out of the boat, step out of the water, all right? And as we do, there's got to be a determination to learn what and how to do and then do what you've learned. And I'm hoping that's one thing will come out of this, is that all of us will be inspired, that we'll go to the leaders and say, I want to learn how to do, okay, because we can. We can. It is possible for us in a simple way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there must be a passion, a determination on our part that I'm going to allow God to use me, because there are some eunuchs out there. There are some eunuchs out there. Next slide. Now, this is something's not in yours. I added this because, this is something. In fact, we did a few weeks ago as we were talking about some things at East Jackson. Go ahead. In fact, put all of them up there. Go ahead. Because as we got to the discussion, a lot of members were saying, we don't do this. We ought to do that. We. And I challenged them, who is we? There is no we without I and me. Okay? We don't go door knocking like we used to and like we should and so forth. And, as you can see up there, door knocking is a tool. It may not be the most effective tool. All right? I don't know what the statistics are now, but even for the JWs and the Mormons, 10 years ago, the statistic was 1,000 doors for every one convert. I don't know what it is now, the thing that we need to understand is that there are some I and there is some we and us stuff, but we can't forget about the I and me stuff. And what I did was, is that I divided up, because on one side we've got some things may be situation, in that it may not be an opportunity that we sought, but it may be an opportunity that just sprang up. And then there are opportunities that we seek, like door knocking. Okay? So in the upper quadrant, you got, when it comes to seeking, we and us as a church, as a body of believers together, there's things that we can do to actively seek. While on the other hand, there may be some things that are situational, in that a visitor comes to our services. That's a part of the I and the we. And then at the bottom part is more the I or me. That I or me must actively seek, in that I start an active dialogue. All right? And I'm not getting into politics, but what I'm discovering is that Donald Trump is giving us great opportunities to evangelize. Because everywhere you go, what are folk talking about? Whether it's positive or negative, they're talking about what's going on with Donald Trump. What that does is open up a door to start the conversation, especially the tool that we use, because some, and you know, what you bring it around here, you know, we got some troubles. We may be headed for more troubles. But we got some things going on in our world, don't we? But did you know that when it comes to all of the troubling stuff that goes on in our world, the Bible attributes it to one main thing? That's when you're pulling out your pad and the Bible starts attributing it to sin. You're not asking them, can you study the word with them? You just start talking about it. Sin. What does sin do? The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. All right? Now, they may walk off from you. That's not a unit. Or that person may sit there and listen. Okay? You know, they may become interested. Then you're dealing with the unit. So what I'm saying is, we start dialogues. All right? Okay? And then situational stuff. A neighbor has a death in the family. Somebody gets married in the family. We do some good deed, taking somebody some food or something like that. Those are situational things that are under the I and me. And then actively seeking things that need to be a part of what we do as well. All right? Okay, so here's what I want to emphasize. There are eunuchs out there. God wants you to be the filler. You see, because I've stopped telling East Jackson and laying the guilt trip, you ought to be teaching your neighbor the gospel. Shame on you. You lived next door to them for 40 years and never tried to teach them the gospel. Well, yes, we have a responsibility to teach the gospel. But I'm wondering if our responsibility is to, first of all, look for the open door rather than trying to break it down. Some people are not eunuchs. Paul said, I'm through with you Jews, shaking the dust. I'm going to the Gentiles. Was Paul wrong for dealing with those closed-minded, closed-hearted people that way? No. Now you got to test the soil. Okay. You certainly have to test the soil, but if they're not a eunuch, how about them cowboys? Because God, John 3, 23 says that the hour comes now here is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, what does God want? True worshipers. True worshipers. For the Father seeks such to worship him. Who does he seek? Just worshipers? No. He seeks true worshipers. So God is looking for, we have to be God's tool to keep our eyes open to those seeking and situational times when God has placed us in the position of being the filler. So what I'm looking for in my neighbor, because especially my sister-in-law, she invites them to services all the time. I've been over there, knocked on the door, and invited them to services. They're not eunuchs yet. What I've got to do is keep my eyes open for the time and opportunity when I'm talking to a eunuch. Now, every now and then, yeah, we're testing the waters. We're testing the soil. But if it's not a eunuch, I can't break the door down. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will..." You've heard your preacher say, the lock is on the inside. If Jesus is coming in, you the one got to turn the lock and let him in. He ain't going to bust the door down. Okay? So what we have to be about is recognizing there are eunuchs out there who will obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the last year and a half, we found at least 69 of them. There are eunuchs out there who will obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are eunuchs out there that will obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are eunuchs out there. What's our responsibility? To be the filler, so that when the eunuch is a eunuch, that's when we're ready to give an answer. Okay? Have people ask you questions at work, they ain't really interested in an answer, are they? And sometimes we do a disservice by just giving them an answer. You know, of course, I like what Ivan Stewart used to teach. Instead of giving an answer, you know, that's a great question. You must have others. Right? If you really, really want an answer to that question, I'll tell you what, you know, on our lunch hour, let's take a few minutes and sit down. Well, they're not a eunuch. They ain't going to be interested in that. Okay? If they're not a eunuch, we have to look for the eunuchs. All right? So notice that eunuch had been to Jerusalem to worship, was so into it that he's riding home in his chariot, reading the Bible after he'd been to church. How many of y'all throw your Bible in the back of the car and forget about it till next Sunday? But he's went to Jerusalem to worship, riding back, reading the scriptures. That years ago in Springfield, Illinois, we baptized a young man because one of the members was getting off the bus. He saw a young man sitting there reading the Bible, and he asked him the same thing Philip asked the eunuch. Do you understand what you're reading? And he called me, brought the young man over. We studied the gospel with him, and he was baptized into Christ. So Cornelius and his household, Lydia, the Philippian jailer, notice that that became situational in that God worked with the situation to bring them into position to where the folk that had it could share it with the folk that needed it. And sometimes God does that with situation in people's lives. So if you get nothing else out of this today, because I've got more stuff than time, then understand that go to the next slide. That there are eunuchs out there, and God seeks those who are seeking to be true worshipers. And the eunuch was a seeker. He was reading his Bible. He was willing to be guided. He desired to learn, and he requested baptism upon understanding. Go to the next part. So some of the things that we can see in seekers or eunuchs is that they are curious. They're compassionate, they're concerned for their souls, and then when they start hearing the message, they will be captivated by it, and they will respond. In our class of visitors, you know, at the end of it, you know, we're just saying, I don't know if this is you. You know, but if it is, I just want you to know we're ready. You know, I don't know if this is you. It may not be. But if this is, and I just say, you know, if that's you, all you got to do is just raise your hand and we'll take your confession and you can be baptized. And those that have been converted. So if you get nothing else, and I got 2 minutes, understand that if the eunuch was not a eunuch, how about those cowboys? He was reading his Bible, willing to be guided, desired to learn, and requested to be baptized when he understood it. There are eunuchs out there. God is going to place you in position to be a Philip. Look for it. Look for it. It's coming because God, that's the purpose of God. He wants to use you. He's going to use you. Young folk, middle-aged, whatever, young adults. There are eunuchs out there. I had some statistics about what I did with those. Maybe they're in one of my lessons. Maybe in one of my lessons about how the numbers have increased just in Henderson alone and in Chester County as far as population increases and how many opportunities out there. I think that's in one of my lessons. Okay? So, what's the bottom line of what I'm saying? The power is in the gospel. We've got to emphasize the gospel. People have got to go to the house of sorrow, and if Jesus' death doesn't take them to the house of sorrow, their heart is not ready. What he's done for them. And of course, we teach, yeah, when you obey the gospel, you know, what God does something wonderful with you. He adds you to his body, the church. I mean, all that's a part of this gospel. But please know, during the course of this week, you might run into a eunuch. Will you be God's Philip in that situation? And if you can't do the teaching, then you want to get them with someone who can. But keep your eyes open. There was a man that went on some, this is true, I can't remember his name now, I have that written somewhere. But he went on some trip to some foreign country. You know how he paid for that trip? He was a man that was a jogger. While he would be out jogging, he would look down. And he'd be looking down, and he'd find money. And so he kept on going about and just collecting. And when he put it in the jars and so forth, over the course of time, he had enough money to pay for his trip to Europe. And all his accommodations. It went in style. Okay? As you're going about, guess what? God has eunuchs out there. And the question is, will you keep your eyes open for it and recognize that God wants to bless you to be a Philip? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you will use this time that we've been together to your name's glory and honor. I pray that you'll move the messenger out the way and let your message stand as that which will be seen and heard. I pray that you would forgive us of the times that we've been afraid or so concerned with and consumed with other things that we have not allowed you to use us to be a Philip in somebody's life. And as you open up doors for us in the course of the days ahead, please help us, use us. Help us to be able to just tell the story of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us and find those and see those who are willing to listen and to respond. Bless this congregation individually and as a whole, that we might do our part in the we and us and in I and me, that we might seek and that we might take advantage of advantageous situations, all to your name's glory and honor. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.